Roni's Own Radio, the award-winning view and interview show with your host, Jeff Roni. It's another episode in our bad economy and job search tips and help and different subjects that we can kind of talk about to really help folks either deal with this economic situation, deal with a lost job, job stress, and that kind of a thing. And I have the extreme pleasure to be joined tonight via Skype with John Wilkerson, the Jesus Geek. Hey, John, how you doing?
Good, Jeff. How are you?
Excellent, excellent. And I figured I would start with a question that I haven't heard much, but I kind of feel it's being bandied about, is if, in fact, America is a Christian nation, and if God is love, why is God allowing this economic downturn?
The number one reason I would say is because we live in a fallen world. And the Bible is very clear about who the God of this world is for now. And even though we believe Jesus Christ died and he has victory over Satan, for now, he has control over a lot of things that are going on. And I think the other thing we need to remember too is that just like I'm a parent, I sometimes let my children make mistakes so that I can teach them a lesson, you know, within reason. I'm obviously not going to let them walk in front of a car and get hit by a car.
Sure, sure. Yeah.
but when it comes to things where people really, really need to be taught something, I think God kind of lets us wallow in that for a while. Mm-hmm. And I think the other reason is because we as Christians have fallen for the, quote, American dream. Mm. You can have your boat. You can have your car. You have your 3,000 square foot house with your white picket fence, your 1.8 kids. And, you know, there's no reason why you should have to do without anything. There's credit available to you. Go live on credit. You know, spend other people's money. But a lot of Christians have forgotten the verses in the Bible that say that the borrower is servant, or some, in some cases, it even says slave to the lender. Mm. And we as Christians, I'm speaking only to Christians, because we believe God holds us to a higher standard. Mm. Not because he's unfair or anything, but because if we believe the Bible is true, then that's the standard we have to go by. The Bible's very clear about borrowing money and that you should stay away from it if at all possible. Mm-hmm. And that's a difficult thing to do in this world right now that we live in because everything is based on credit. We have nothing backing our money except the faith of the United States government. So this attitude has built up in the United States and especially in the church. You know, when I see a church talking about, oh, we need to bring in so much money so we can pay our mortgage, I'm thinking to myself, maybe if you got rid of the mortgage, mm-hmm. and just rented a small little place over here somewhere where you're not having to pay all these taxes and all these other things, maybe you could do some more with that money that you have. Coming back around to answering that question is the reason God has let us fall into this is because it's a mess that we've made of our own self. And just like the story of the prodigal son, when the prodigal son came to himself and went back to his father and said, hey, look, I messed up. I think it's time for us as Christians and the church to come back to God and say, hey, we messed up when it comes to money. Mm. And we repent and we want you to show us how to do that. And then God will restore us. And it may be that the rest of the country is going to shambles. But Christians, no matter what the economic status is, are thriving. That's my prayer.
Yeah.
That's my prayer to see that.
I would kind of also add into what you're saying is the Bible is very clear. It says, trust not in riches. And I think we've seen a whole bunch of people that have trusted in riches. And we can see now that companies, huge companies, and car manufacturers and huge corporations are falling like a deck of cards. They're just falling like dominoes. On a big floor. And so I do believe that there's a lot of prodigal people all over this nation that are coming to their senses and they're saying, this keeping up with the Joneses, this is crazy. This is absolutely crazy. I definitely need to cut back and focus on what's important. Maybe it's relationships and different things like that. I also wanted to say this. It was interesting that you should bring that up about the mortgage in the church, is that there's a lot of churches that have been in homes and small areas where they've met because of that very reason, is they felt that money could be better used, maybe taking care of the congregation or whatever, instead of building these huge sanctuaries. And I'm not necessarily saying that's a bad thing if it's used well, but if you're just building a big church to build a big church, I don't know.
Yeah. And whatever happened to saving up money so you can buy something?
Yeah.
You know, I'm not opposed to a church owning land, even though, again, I think that there's some entanglements that come with that that maybe a church doesn't want. And that's a really – I think most people in churches don't really think about that. They just think, oh, we have to have this land so we can do God's work and build this beautiful building for God. But they don't really think about the entanglements that come with that.
Right.
And the reason is because they can borrow the money so easily.
Right.
If it was, well, we have to save $1.5 million to buy the land and build a building, now you're talking about really thinking about, do we really want to put our money into this? Is this something that God really wants us to do? Mm-hmm. But when it's just, oh, well, it's going to be, you know, $1,500 a month for the mortgage or whatever, you know, whatever it is, I'm just pulling a number out of the air. Mm-hmm. That isn't as substantial to a body when they hear, oh, well, $1,500 a month, that's nothing. But if you say $1.5 million, that's, oh, well, let's think about this. Do we really want to do this? It might take us 7 years to save up the money, or 10 years, or whatever it may be. I know it's tough not to live on credit. I speak of someone who knows this from experience.
Sure.
It's tough. And when I finally cut the strings and said, you know, I'm not going to live on credit anymore, it really made a difference in my life. Mm. Now, I still have a mortgage, but other than that, I don't really have any monthly recurring bills that I'm paying interest on. So that frees me to do a few things. It frees me to give more. It frees me to use the money in areas where I want to use it, rather than paying that extra whatever percentage, you know, slice out of my pay goes to interest. That's not happening. And I'm not a financial genius, but I do know that what I get paid, I can't spend more than I get paid. Mm-hmm. It does take a financial genius to do that. I was there. I was there 10, 11 years ago. I was living on credit, and I thought, you know, as long as I make my minimum payments, I'm good. Other people's money, I can have whatever I want. Fortunately, I got married, and I had a very wise wife who said, you know, you're not doing this.
Yeah.
This isn't happening. And since then, I've really – And it's hard. You know, you see people get shiny toys and you're looking at your old beat up toy and going, well, I sure would like to have a shiny toy, but I know I have to wait.
You have a wonderful wife. I've got one too, but yours to you is more special than mine, and that's fine. And she helped you on this path. But you also have a family. And when some people talk about families, it is like, I've got to think about my family. But tell me about this transition from credit to saving and making better choices. How long did it take, and when did you kind of feel like you kind of had a handle on it?
Well, for me personally, it didn't take long for us.
Okay.
My wife had some money saved up, and when we got married, she said, we're going to pay this stuff off. And that's going to be the end of it. And I agreed with her. And I said, are you sure you want to do that? There's no reason for you to take money that you've saved up. You know, we can just – she said, no, I want to get it over with. Hmm. So we did that. And I would say within a year, we had that money saved up again. My wife is a miracle worker when it comes to finances. I'm convinced. I mean, she shops the sales. She buys coupons on eBay for things that have gone on sale for this week, you know, so that she can take those coupons in and save money. I mean, it's amazing what she's able to do. Hmm. But she was used to living like that. So my thing was, oh wow, all the credit cards are paid off. You know, let's charge up some more. It took a while for me. It's a process. And it's still something, I mean, I catch myself every once in a while going, ooh, I really want to buy that. Mm-hmm. You know, sure. I would say it took me a good, for me personally, it probably took me a good 4 or 5 years to really get on the mindset of, okay, I could buy this now, or I could save the money and buy it later, or I could use this money for something else.
Yeah.
And mainly, I say it took 4 or 5 years because, you know, to begin with, our family wasn't that big. But as our family started growing, different decisions had to be made. Mm-hmm. And when you have the number of children that I have, food, shelter, clothing, you don't even think twice about it. It doesn't even enter your head. It's tough sometimes. It's tough because as a dad, I want to give things to my kids. I want to be able to give them all these neat, you know, new bikes every summer or whatever, but we can't do that. It was hard.
Right.
It was really hard. And I'm not gonna belabor the point except to say that it did take a while. And it did take a while for me to that be my first thought of I can buy this now or I can save it and use it for something else. It took a while, and that's the primary thing that happens now when I think of buying something. But still, every once in a while, there's certain things, you know, that hit our button. And with me, it's computer stuff.
Sure, right. So I understand.
It's real easy to just impulsively to buy something.
My hat and my respect go up to your wife. I think it's tough to bend a man's will. And sometimes money is the toughest thing to bend. As far as a man feels control, I said that the using the credit card was like a drug. To me, it was. You could have anything you want, and it made you feel good, and there was freedom, and you could just do whatever you wanted. You probably went through the same process of, oh my goodness, where am I now? You know, looking at all the numbers, and the thing I want to say is it can be done. It can be done. No matter how bad the situation you feel is right now, whether you have a job or not, you're probably carrying a balance. If you're not, you're one of the rare two people, but then you're probably not listening to this podcast anyway at this point. However bad it is, you can get out of it. It's going to take some time, and it's going to take some decisions. You know, I was just reading through the news today, and you probably saw the same thing, John. People just killing people. In their own home,
because of
they can't find a job and the stress of this crisis. I just want to tell people just this: if you're still alive, that's the important thing. Your relationships, that's the important thing. Whether you lose your house, whether you go into foreclosure, whether you have to face the creditors, talk to the creditors, kind of dig yourself out of the hole. That's all doable. But to take it to the point where you want to kill yourself, I would say stop. Life is tough. Life is tough. And we even talked about, you know, Christians who believe in God and there's a heaven and God does bless. But this life is hard for people who believe in God and for people that don't. This is not easy, and there are easy days and tough days. But I just want to publicly speak to my brothers and sisters and folks that don't believe in God is listen. You know, just don't check out. You know, give yourself some time to work this out. There are no quick ways out of this. There's none. The pressures of a family and a marriage, maybe that was rocky to begin with, and then now with maybe a loss of a job and then mounting debt is just, you feel it's insurmountable. But, you know, we've just talked to somebody who actually had a concrete plan and can work it out. And just my heart goes out to people that feel so low that they've got to kill themselves and other people. I mean, that's... I can't even grasp that, but...
Well, people tend to forget that if it took them 10 years to dig themselves into a hole, they're not going to get out of that hole overnight. Mm-hmm. I was very fortunate in the way that it happened with me, but, you know, it felt like I cut off my arm. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's going to be some pain involved. And one of the guys that I love to listen to about this is Dave Ramsey.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't know who this guy is, you need to Google him on the internet and listen to his stuff, because he's like, listen, if you want to pay off your bills, you have to make a decision. You got to get rid of the cable, get, you know, stop eating out at lunch. I mean, he just goes through the list of all this stuff, and maybe you're going to eat beans and rice and beans for the next 2 months. But once you start paying, he calls it the debt snowball.
Mm.
You pay off your smallest bill, and then you work on the next one and the next one. And each time you're applying that money that you were paying. So if you were paying $10 a month on one credit card, you pay that off, you take that $10 and you apply it to the next one. So that's maybe 15. Now you're paying $25 on it every month, and it just increases. And the next thing you know, you're out of debt before you realize it. And then you have all this extra money around, and you're going, wow, what am I going to do with this?
Mm-hmm.
And this is where I want to challenge Christians on this, especially in this economy and the way it is. And anyone out there who's not a Christian, you hold us accountable to this. We cannot stop giving.
Mm.
We just can't. A lot of people out there think that the government's the answer, the government's going to solve all these problems. There's not enough money or enough manpower in the U.S. government to help people who need the help.
Hmm.
Some of it is financial counseling. Some of it's food, clothing, housing, whatever it may be. But we as Christians cannot stop giving. And it's tough. It goes counter to absolutely everything that you want to think of doing in this economy right now. You just want to kind of, okay, I'm shutting everything down. I'm stuffing all the money in a mattress, and I'm loading my gun, and anyone who comes to get my money is going to get a face full of lead, you know. But we can't do that. We have to keep giving, because honestly, I think that's the only way we're going to get out of this financial crisis, is if the church continues to give and continues to help people find jobs, find work, pick them up, and get them moving and motivated so that they can start contributing back to this economy again.
Right.
Because the U.S. government wants to throw more money at the problem. I'm not saying that we're throwing money at the problem. I mean, it may sound like I'm saying that, like, well, we just need to throw money at the problem. But that's not what we're doing. We're using the money. We're holding people accountable. We're actually helping them. We're not going to throw money to some big corporation and have them turn around and give out million-dollar bonuses to CEOs. You know,
right.
We're going to use that money, and we're going to make sure it's used effectively and not just spray money out there and say, okay, here you go, people who didn't use the money correctly to begin with, here's some more money for you to waste.
Yeah.
That's not what I'm talking about doing. I'm talking about actually helping people and helping them realize that there's a way out of it, and the way out of it is not to live on credit. If you don't live on credit, the economy, has it affected me? Sure. If I had more credit, if I were deeper in debt, it would be affecting me even more.
Yeah.
But it's not, because I'm not paying out interest to anyone.
And thinking about this subject, and I have been, as far as a biblical picture of this, and one was the story of Ruth. And she met Boaz when she was gleaning in the cornfield. And gleaning, help me out here. What does gleaning mean? Do you know?
Basically, what would happen is when the person who had that field, they would leave the corners for poor people to come and harvest what was left there. So if it was wheat or corn, they would leave the corners of the field for people to come and collect. And that's what she was doing.
Mm-hmm.
She was going into this field because this is what God had commanded the people of Israel to do, to say, look, when you're out there, you leave some behind for people who are poor so they can come and they can take from it and benefit from that. That's basically what gleaning was. They kind of left the corners of the fields available so people who didn't own land or didn't have a job or were poor could come and get food.
So there was no, well, we're just going to make all the money in the whole world and take all the profit and take it all. God said, take a lot of it, give me 10%, but leave the corners for the poor people. You don't need all of it. You can leave some of it behind because I'll bless you anyway.
And the other thing, if you'll notice, God didn't tell them, okay, go ahead and harvest it all and put it in baskets for them so that they can just come and pick up the baskets. No, he left those people some work to do so that if you were in need, it wasn't just here's a handout. It was here, go do the work, get what you need. Because, you know, here's my opinion. If people have to work for something that's being given to them, they'll be less likely to take advantage of it. If I got baskets full of corn sitting in the corner of the field, I might take five of them when I only need two. But if I have to go cut down the corn myself and fill up those two baskets, guess what? That's about all I'm going to take because I'm only going to take what I need because I'm not going to work that hard when I don't have to, you know, just to waste it, which is, you know, it's something. I mean, there's something else too is a lot of people, they're going out there and they're working their butts off and all their work is wasted. You know, you're working 60, 70 hours a week for what? I mean, most of your overtime's getting taxed away from you anyway. You're losing time with your family. You're losing personal time that you could be spending improving your life or just relaxing. And you're throwing it away so that some guy up in an ivory tower somewhere can make more money.
Right.
And I understand that, we're all cogs in a wheel, right? But sometimes some of the cogs kind of get the idea that if they spin a little faster, maybe something will change the machine. But what happens is they end up burning themselves out and getting replaced. And there's a balance. Every now and then, maybe you need to put in a little extra work to show your boss that, look, I'm a team player and I'm here for the company. But on the other hand, don't throw your life away.
Let me say
this. Don't just invest in work. Invest in family and life.
One of the greatest things that I was told, my spiritual godmom, said this, you know, I was telling her about work and, you know, just the difficulties and this money and all this kind of stuff. And she said, who's your boss? And I said, well, it's this Mr. So-and-so. And she said, no, who's your boss? And I said, God. She said, right. God's your boss. You work for him, don't you? Well, I never thought about that. Well, then he pays you, right? Oh, I see. Okay. So God's my boss. And I'll never forget that. And he has a better plan. Now, I'm just, and I know what you're saying. We're not saying stroll in there and say, you know, Mr. So-and-so, God's my boss. So guess what? I work 10 to 2. No.
Right.
You are given this. You are a steward of this work. But the fact is, the economy isn't your boss. The president isn't your boss. The boss that sits in the glass office and stares at you and makes sure you get there by the certain time, he's not your boss. God's your boss. And God has a whole plan for this whole cog and wheel and clock and everything. And I think that's what we're seeing, is that the economy wrestles and tows and goes up and down and is in a travail. But God is your boss.
I think sometimes people forget that. They forget that, but they also forget that, you know, God's going to take you through some rough times.
Sure.
When Jesus told the disciples, okay, I want you to go across the sea here and get in the boat and go, and I'll come later on. There's a storm that came up. Happened a couple times. You know, Jesus didn't say, okay, well, we're going to wait and make sure the forecast is just right so there's not any bad weather. And you guys go on out, and I'll make sure that it, you know, the sea is just smooth as glass and tranquil. And no, the storm came up, and he said, okay, now it's time for you to trust in me. Okay, we'll get through this. I'll get you through this storm. And we forget that, you know. We forget that in order for something – gold to be purified, it's got to be heated up.
Right.
Heat and pressure, right? So God allows us to go through these things to strengthen us. You know, he's not punishing us. He's not looking down at us and saying, "Oh, let's see what I can do to them today." He's saying, oh, let's see what I can do through them today. And that is that's such a big difference. And, you know, obviously I don't walk perfectly in all this. And there are times when I'm just out there going, okay, God, what is going on here? You know, you said this, you said that, you said this in your word, and I'm not feeling it right now, Jesus. So mm-hmm. you got to help me out here. Mm-hmm. And then I kind of get quiet and I go, oh, okay, I see what's going on. You want me to lean on you a little bit more than I've been leaning on myself. And that can be hard sometimes because that means shoving down that pride
right.
and saying, okay, maybe I don't have all the answers.
I remember when I was, sad to say, when I was working out on a more consistent basis. The one thing I learned is that the muscles to grow had to be torn. And to me, that's sometimes what life is about. For me to get stronger as a person and as a Christian, I need to be taken through some dark water and some tough times. It doesn't make any sense. You wish you could take a pill. You wish you could maybe do something easy. But life isn't easy. Growth isn't easy. And that's the way it works. So when you work out, it's the same thing as life. Sometimes you have to stretch things as far as you can see, and you don't think you can go another step, and you have to go keep going. And then you learn, I can do this. And it's just like trusting in God, just like you're saying. You say, God can take me through this. Ah, I see that now. But we wouldn't see it unless there was difficulty. So, you know, we have made some great points, and I want to thank you for that, John. There's so many fantastic points for Christians. I do want to end up here. It is, if you're not a Christian and you're angry and you're upset for whatever reason, that you probably have Christians in your family that have treated you all kinds of ways but good, I want you to know this, that in this difficulty, God is there and has a rope for you to get out of this. But you got to grab onto him. That's the key. Is you can't listen to Bill Maher and you can't listen to those people that you listen to all the time about how bad Christians are and how bad this religion is and this and that and this and that. You need to get out of this. And God has a way out. But you can't do it unless you trust in him. And that's what we're talking about. It's about trust. We talked about the beginning of this. When you trust in money, what happened? There's a lot of people that have lost a lot of money. And that is not going to get you out. But God will take us out. And we've done a great job, I think, talking about different things that will happen in life, and especially now. And I would just ask this one thing of you. If you have never trusted in God, but you've seen religion and you've seen this televangelist and all this, I would ask you to put all that other crazy stuff that you've seen and trust in God. And say, God, if you exist, help me. Help me. And that's really the bottom line. Start there. Yes, Jesus died on the cross for your sins. And yes, that is important. But you need to make a connection with God first, because there's so many other things that get in the way. So that's what I would ask you to just consider. And all this mass and all this money difficulty, that's going to kind of work its way out. But the God situation, that's important. And that's what I want you to remember. So, John, I just want to thank you for your time. And is there anything else that maybe you'd want to talk about before we end?
Well, I just want to kind of say ditto to what you just said, but also add on and say, you know, despite how you may feel towards God, whether you think he exists or not, whether you think you've been burned by Christians or whatever the case may be, the principles that are in the Bible, okay, they work whether or not you're a Christian. It's real simple. If you don't borrow money, you're not going to be a servant to the person who lends it to you. If you plan things out, then you're going to benefit from it. But don't be like that one guy. You know, Jesus told that parable. He built up his barns and everything, and he said, "Oh, you know, I'm going to eat, drink, and be merry," because God called that man a fool, because his soul was required of him that night. So really think about it. Really think about if it's more important that when you step into eternity, you're going to be going and living with God than it is to you to live well off here on this earth. Okay, there's plenty of people all over the world who live without food, who live without clean water, who have, you know, only the clothes on their back. But that doesn't bother them, because they know when they pass from this life to the next, they know that they're going to be secure in Christ. And so to me, that's more important. That's the more important message is, yes, God wants to help you, but he's more interested in your eternal state than he is your life right here on earth right now. So keep that in mind. And hopefully along the way, God will bless you and God will take you out of the problems. But again, if not, you know, you could get out of debt. You could get settled. But then you spend all that time putting into this life, and then when it comes time to go over to the next life, God's going to say, "You're a fool," mm. because you put too much into this life mm. and not enough into more eternal things.
Mm. Wow. That's great. I have to end right here. John, I just want to thank you for your time. And,
sure.
I know you're a busy guy, but I really appreciate you sharing tonight from you and your life and just what God has taught you. And I really do appreciate it.
Well, thanks for having me on, Jeff. I appreciate the opportunity to do it.
You got it. And please stop by his website, JesusGeek.info. And he's a cool geek. He's not a nerdy geek. He's got a lot of great, great things. And I also want to point out the fact that he's raising money to drill wells in Africa. And we're going to give links to those two sites and those two areas for you as well. I know times are tough, but a dollar is a dollar. You know, $2 is $2. So that's what I would recommend to you. I just want to thank you for listening, and we will continue talking about the bad economy. And this is Jeff Roney, Roney's Own Radio, saying see you later. Bye-bye. Thank you for listening to Roney's Own Radio. Please visit our website at jrdonline.com and drop us an email at jeff.roney@gmail.com. Thank you very much, and see you next time on Roney's Own Radio.